Easter's here. He's risen. Isn't it amazing how we just greet each other with such familiar words, isn't it? Like we say it and it rolls off our tongues. But when it comes to retelling our story of Easter, what I think is that it's become so familiar for us that it kind of brings an everyday ho-hum to the story. Have you thought about that for a moment? The most powerful, significant event in history has become an everyday thing. A bit, oh well. This everyday familiarity is not the case when we actually think about the people that this story is written about. Think about the women for a moment that came to the tomb that Easter morning. Think about Peter that came to the tomb that Easter morning and looked into that empty tomb. They had a different perspective. It wasn't a routine thing. It was a challenge. What I'd like to do today is to explore with you some different perspectives so that we may experience Easter again from fresh eyes with fresh faith. I love Luke's account that we've just had read and we're just going to come back into it and we'll actually explore it. We had it from the New International Version and we'll actually read it from the NLT as well as we go through this as well. But I'd like to explore it from Luke's gospel because it's straightforward, puts it there, but there's so much we can unwrap, even in these little bits of words. So let's delve into the very first part, the first four verses of Luke chapter 24. And it says this, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes." So as we think about the women coming into that tomb, I want you to think about it. They're coming to finish a job that they couldn't complete on Friday. They were restricted by the Jewish traditions and laws to come and go and embalm Jesus' body. So they were coming not only in the early morning, but the very early morning, very early in the morning to come and embalm Jesus' body with spices, part of the burial rite. They couldn't do it on the Saturday because it was the Sabbath, and so they're there very early in the morning. But think for a moment what they're doing, how they're entering this. I want to give you two things. They're probably coming with grief and caution. This is the perspective of the cross that I want you to think about for a moment, this Easter story that we have. From the women's perspective, coming there with grief and caution. They're approaching the tomb with caution because of the events that the past few days have given. Think about it. They're not just strolling along, having a wander and a chat, and they know that Jesus came in and rode in on a donkey and the crowd wanted to proclaim him king. But in a couple of days, he's got rid of the money changers out of the temple court. He's been arrested, tried, and executed. The crowd turned from shouting, "Be our king," to "crucify him." And so this whole city of lots of people who have come in are there and it's still a powder keg. So they're coming with caution to the tomb. They come with caution. They enter at the very first possible moment while it is still dark, before the sun has risen, early in the day, just as it's coming into allowable to enter that tomb. Not only are they coming with caution, but they're coming with grief. They're coming with grief because of the loss and the pain and the death that is there. So I want to ask you today, how do you view the cross? How do you view Easter? Do you view Easter from the perspective of caution and grief? Do you have that in your life? This is the perspective I have, that it is Easter is full of grief, full of caution. It's a kind of a handoff and I don't want to touch it kind of thing. Have you left Jesus hanging on the cross? They're dead. Or laying in the tomb, dead. Do you think that Jesus was just a man and the resurrection didn't happen? And if so, you will always expect that Jesus is going to be in that tomb, that his body will be laying there. And therefore the power and the grace and the forgiveness of God will always be less because you have left Jesus dead and buried. I want to say to you, Jesus is alive, and our perspective should always change because that is the celebration of life that we have. Jesus is alive, and that is an amen to that. Indeed. Good. I'm glad you got that. Amen, indeed. Wait, is that your perspective of Easter? Let me push it a little bit further for you. Each person has their own unique way of grief. But there are some common things that happen within grief. And one of those common behaviours, emotions and physical signs and symptoms that people have, one of those that the grieving people tend to typically experience, and the women experienced as they did that, as they came to the tomb that morning, they experienced one of these signs of grief. And one of the signs of grief that affects people is confusion. When people are grieving, they are confused. The women were confused by the scene that they encountered. However, that confusion was not the confusion of grief. It was the confusion that they expected one thing and encountered something completely differently. The stone was rolled away. The body of Jesus that they expected to embalm was not there. They were confused and they were terrified. Let's hear what Luke says as he records this in the way the women had their perspective of this terrifying confusion of somebody taking the body of Jesus not being there. From verses 5-7, and note the words, the women were terrified and they bowed their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here, he is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. My guess is people often view the cross of crucifixion from a perspective of confusion, view our Easter things, our crown of thorns, the cross, the empty tomb, from that place of confusion. It doesn't make sense for their minds. There's something that they are struggling with. See, let me say this. Confusion happens when we expect... when we approach this amazing, wonderful event of Easter with a preconceived idea. Confusion happens when we have a preconceived notion about what is going to be there and it is different. You can either have it and let it open you up, or you can have it and let it just drive you into, I don't understand, how can this be? Easter, let me say this. Easter is not about the hype about chocolates. It's not about eggs, bunny rabbits, bilbies, whatever we might be doing to be politically correct, or footballs made of chocolate if you're supporting the NRL, or whatever it might be. It's not even about hot crust buns. How many people have had a hot crust bun so far? Yep. How many people have had an Easter egg? Wow, only a few people have admitted to that so far. But isn't it funny? You know, Easter is about the most amazing, world-shattering event that shows the love of God for all of humankind. It's not about the commercialization. Yes, all of those things are there, that they have been used as symbols to help us understand this event that has changed history. But we've drilled down into the symbols rather than got close to the person. We've drilled down into the symbols rather than come into Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is about the power of God overcoming death. It gives us access into life everlasting that God gives us if we have faith and we believe in Jesus. Grief was the starting point of the perspective. The caution and the grief was the starting point of the perspective of the women as they came to the empty tomb. And that was quickly replaced by confusion that Easter morning. And they were terrified. But that was not the final perspective the women had. That was not the final point that they left and went back to the other disciples to tell them about. As the women encountered the heavenly being, their confusion was changed to understanding and to delight. Let me read to you again what it says from verses 8 to 10 in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Then they remembered what he had said. So that is Jesus. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. Listen to that. The women remembered the words of Jesus. The understanding replaces the confusion when they remember what Jesus had said. Understanding replaces confusion on the basis that confusion has been explained. Today, I don't want us to be confused by the events of Easter. I don't want us to be confused by what Jesus did on the cross, how he died and bled so our sins may be forgiven once and for all, how he conquered death by raising from the grave. I don't want us to be confused by that. I want you to have the perspective of understanding that leads you to want to tell others about this great love of Jesus. Notice how the various perspectives interplay through the women in this story. The women had a great delight because they had great grief. That great delight was made so much more manifest and real because they had solely missed who Jesus. Through tears of anguish and pain has been churned into tears of joy. Today on this Easter day, which perspective of the cross do you relate to? Which perspective of the Easter story, of the empty tomb, of the cross, of the riding in triumphantly, do you relate to grief and caution? Do you relate to terrified confusion, or do you relate to understanding and delight? There's a question I want to leave with you, but as we do that, I'm going to invite the band to come up and we're going to come into a little bit of time in prayer. And during this prayer, I'm going to invite you, if you want to do this, we're going to close, bow our heads, close our eyes. We're going to pray together. But if you want Jesus to be more real, to be more meaningful in your life, if you want to commit your life to Jesus for the first time or yet again to, you know, it may be the 100th time, just rededicating your life back to there. I'm just going to invite you to as we pray in just a moment, if you want to raise your hand and just say, yes, Lord, I want this. I'm going to ask you to do that with me. So let's just pray. Lord God, you are calling our hearts and our minds today. Through the story of the resurrection of your son, Jesus. And so we come before you, asking that we may have new life in Christ, new life in Jesus Christ. And so we say, oh God, I know that I have broken your laws. My sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. And now I want to turn away from my past sinful life towards you. Lord, please forgive me. And Lord, help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and is alive, and hears our prayers. I invite you, Jesus, to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. A gracious, loving God, please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen. Amen indeed.